We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So far, God's word. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. You believe that there are some people who think that in saying this, the apostle is actually claiming or talking as if Jews or Jewish Christians did not believe that they had sinful natures. If you read the apostle as speaking that way, hypothetically saying, you know, the people of the nations, those are the sinners, and we of the Jews, we are not the sinners, it actually ends up making mincemeat of his argument. Because what he's saying is, it's futile to try to force the Gentiles to keep the ceremonial law, because not only we, by the ceremonial law, were set apart, like we were hearing in the, I forget now if it was the sermon or the class this morning, where we were talking, it was in the class, how Christ is the substance of all the sacraments, or Christ is all the substance, he is all the substance of the sacraments too, but of all the promises and prophecies and sacrifices and signs of the old covenant, and so the Jews were actually set apart by God as holy unto himself. That didn't make individuals right with God, but it did give them not only a covenantal standing, but also covenantal privileges. You can see this in the book of Romans. Paul starts to talk about it in chapter 3, but immediately takes a sidetrack and doesn't return to the idea until chapter 9. This is actually fairly related to the passages on circumcision. It says, "What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God." And then he branches off from there and says, just because they had the word of God doesn't mean that they believed. But just because they didn't believe, it doesn't mean that the word of God isn't a privilege. And then in chapter 9, beginning in verse 3, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren," now he's not talking about brethren in Christ, he's talking about "my countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption." And now he's not talking there about that eternal spiritual adoption that you get in union with Jesus and the Spirit trains you to call God Abba, because he's talking about unbelieving Israelites. He's talking about God telling Pharaoh, "Let Israel go, for he is my firstborn son." And God eventually kills Pharaoh's firstborn son, doesn't he? Okay, so there is a certain sense in which, as a people, as a church, they are set apart to God, adopted by God. Theirs is the to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenant. Okay, so all the different administrations in which God had bound himself to a particular group of people on earth, just as there continues to be a group of people on earth to whom God has bound himself corporately, called the church, the giving of the law, the service of God, okay, so the worship of God that they have been set apart for, it's what a bunch of the sanctifying sacrifices that we were talking about in the class this morning were for. They were for the setting apart of the worship and making it acceptable in God's sight. You remember Mrs. Manoah in Judges 13, reasoning with her husband, saying, well, obviously there's been some kind of atonement for us, or he wouldn't have accepted our worship. Okay? The covenants, the giving of all, the service of God that is the worship, and the promises of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. So there actually were a lot of privileges, including an outwardly being set apart corporately unto God, so that he received their worship, and their worship was not offensive to him, in that it was offered through sacrifices that look forward to Christ. Okay, so when he says, we who are Jews by nature are not sinners from the nations, he's actually talking about a real status that is not that eternally right before the justice and judgment of God, but was a, as far as earthly people go, set apart to him, set apart from the world, and having status and privileges that were true and were great. And that in part applies to us here this afternoon. We're here because God has put us in his church, and he's granted to us to hear the gospel, and he's given us signs and seals that display it, so that we know that the worship that was offered this morning as a body was received by God through the blood of Jesus. And he didn't despise it, because the tabernacle in heaven has been sanctified by the shed blood of him who has ascended there and sat down on the throne. And yet, what Paul is saying in verse 15 is, we who had all of that refused to hope in any of it. And I want everyone here this morning to hear that. Because what Paul is saying to those who are telling Galatian Christians, you really need to be circumcised so that you can have the privileges of being a Jew. And he's saying, but we who had the privileges of being Jews abandoned any hope in those privileges. We saw that all the privileges that we had, and all the worship that we offered, and all of our membership, and all of the sacrifices, all of the signs and seals, all of that together could not make us right with God. Right? So Jesus comes, and they realize, seeing Christ, that apart from him, everything they have done has not helped them at all to be right before the judgment of God. Were they great and precious privileges to be part of the people of God and receive the instruction and to be set apart and to have as their history God pointing at them and saying, Israel is my first? Yes, those are great privileges. But he said, we who had those privileges refused to trust in them, knowing that a man is not justified, okay, not declared righteous, not made right with God by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified, that we might be made right with God by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Okay, so two big things here. One, being made right with God is only by who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Okay? You are a special people. You are, as members of the church, set apart from the world. And the Lord engages with his church corporately on earth in a way that he doesn't engage with the rest of the world. And you have great privileges. The worship of God and the word of God and observing the sacraments and but none of those things can make you right with him. Okay, and there's a danger in feeling like you're okay, feeling like things are okay between you and God because of the privileges he has given you. You can slouch into that. You can even really start to believe it and think that it makes you better than those who are out there. And there may be some sense in which Paul is quoting those who have opposed him, because they did look down upon all those who were Gentiles, all those who are from the nations. But then he turns it on his head and says, suppose you do take the specialness of the Jews seriously. Didn't you, by believing in Jesus and understanding that none of that specialness made you right with God, didn't you admit that you're not better in and of yourself? Not better than those who are out there, that it's only what Jesus has done that makes you right with him? That idea that who you are and what you have done cannot make you right with God, does not make you right with God, but only who Jesus is and what he has done. God the Son, appointed as a mediator, selected by God from among men to be our representative, who lived a perfectly obedient life and yet was punished by God, had the wrath of God poured out upon him on the cross in the place of sinners, and rose again from the dead because he had fully satisfied for all the sins of all his people. Okay, one of the number one reasons you cannot say that Jesus atoned for all the sins of everyone. Okay, because if he did, then hell will be empty. It is our confidence that Jesus hasn't just hypothetically, but really and truly suffered the penalty that our sin deserves. That is the only hope we have of being right with God. Okay, he didn't make it possible. He accomplished it. So, that truth that it is not at all who we are or what we have done that makes us right with God, but only who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, is important enough that, you know, we could have taken verse 15 to the end of the chapter today, and we'll actually build on that truth when we come back to Galatians next week, Lord willing. But I wanted to press that home to you, especially you who are children, you younger people. Maybe we older people need to be reminded on a regular basis too. But you often hear that you are a member of Christ's church, and that comes with all kinds of privileges and blessings, and that is true. But what that cannot do for you is make you right with God, righteous before his sight. And you must be righteous, because there's a judgment coming. And if you stand before Jesus and you're not right with God, you will go to hell, even though you're a member of the church, and even more so if you had all these privileges and still weren't right with God. But if God uses those privileges to bring you to faith in Jesus, and you trust in him, and you know that it's only who he is and only what he has done that makes you right with him, then not only do you have all of these privileges and blessings that are great, but you have Jesus himself, and you are right with God, and you had better not think that you are better than other people because of what God has given you, or you'll fall into the same kind of mistake that the people that Paul is arguing against is making in this passage.